Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we bless you and praise your name. We come into your presence reverently, humbly, to receive that which you have for us today. And so, Lord, as for us and on our part, we return the praise to you and thank you ahead of time, ahead of time. For one day in your house is better than 1,000. 3 years tied up into this time with you. 3 years equivalency, Lord, that's how we esteem your spirit, your presence. So, Lord, speak to us. Minister to us. Take away all pain. Remove all of the weights and the burdens. We don't want to mess with that while we're doing business before you, Lord. We're not going to bring these things into your presence, into your throne room. But we've determined that we will enter in boldly by the blood of the Lamb, and we will receive that which he died for. We will possess that which is our right, and we'll go forth in victory. And we bless you. We honor you for it, Lord. We're not done, Lord. And as long as we remain, we're here to do your will, fulfill your purposes and your plans upon this earth. We thank you and glorify you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, before you're seated, turn around. One way we love God's by loving one another. Shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck. You got time, mill around a little bit. I know we know everybody here, but if you don't, go find them and introduce yourself. Praise the Lord. Really glad you're with us this morning. Hallelujah. You ventured out on the snowy roads. Beautiful today, wasn't it? Don't prophesy that. Did you see how beautiful that was? Blossoming tree right there in front of the church. Gorgeous. Lord, is that a cherry? Is that cherry blossoms or is that apple? I don't know what it is. It's a fruit tree. Is it a mimosa?
No, they're pink. No, there's white numbers. I'm not a horticulturist. Yeah.
Not the botanist that I thought you were.
I'm not going to venture into fruits I do not know of.
Hallelujah. It's what? It's a weeping cherry. Praise the Lord. It's beautiful. Glory to God. So we've all been corrected. It's a weeping cherry. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Did you bring your Bibles with you?
Yes.
We're going to get in the Word of God today. So glad to be with you. Terry and I drove down yesterday. We've got three remaining grandchildren in the area, and one of them has a birthday party today at 3. She's 3 years old. So you know Grandma and Grandpa got to be there, right? So we get the added benefit of being with you as well. And, yeah, that's the high point. And then Tuesday, I ask y'all to be in prayer. I'll be heading back to Ukraine on Tuesday. And things are pretty hot over there right at the moment. In fact, this morning when you were probably sleeping, some of you woke up maybe 5:30 in the morning, which would have been a little after noon in Ukraine. Church was letting out right at 12:30. And they walked out in the city square and the city of Sumy, and the Russians dropped a cluster of munitions on top of them, and 21 were killed this morning at 5:30. All 21 had just come out of the same church. And then another church was attacked, an Assembly of God church in Kiev, blew out all the windows, but thank God nobody was hurt in that attack. So pray for the pastors in Ukraine. Pray for the kingdom of God as they minister to their people. And people say, well, what's it like? Well, it'd be just like what would happen here if 21 of our people were killed. You go to work. And they haven't had a vacation for almost 4 years, and you just keep at it. You wake up, you pick your disaster, and you go to work, and you minister to people, and you bless them, and you keep going. So pray for them. By the end of the month, last three days there in April, we're going to bring about 50 to 60 of the pastors together for another. It'll be our fifth pastor. I'm calling them retreats. And from the standpoint of Jesus said, come apart and rest. And so we get them to a private place outside the city so we don't have wake-up calls with air raids. Although we did in a couple of them, which was really bizarre because you're in the middle of nowhere. And we pay for everything for them so they don't have to have the stress of can I go or not. We make sure they bring their wives, and they get a hot shower, which some of them hadn't had for a while, and three good meals. We pay for real good food services. And then I even, which I haven't done in the past, but I go out and find good worship teams, and we pay the church to bring in the worship team to minister to the pastors. So it's really more of a worship conference. And then here and there, I'll minister a little bit. I'm taking a friend of mine, Josh Barkley, with me, and he'll minister some. But it's not a Bible conference. It's a rest time, and so they get to be with one another, which we have found out has always been their high points. When I talk to them after, you know, it's you'll see five or six of them in a corner hugging on one another and crying, and so. Glory. So pray for the pastors. These guys, they come from the east where the active combat is. They've seen stuff that, you know, I've seen things in videos and photos that I wished I hadn't watched. Well, they didn't get photos and videos. And, you know, they're just amazing examples of faith under fire. And faith works. I remember back when I started preaching as a teenager, and people say, well, you know, that faith business, that name it and claim it business, that only works in America because we got prosperity everywhere. Well, I've been just about everywhere, and I found out it works everywhere. And if I know one thing, it works on the battlefield. And it's, you can tell, you meet somebody and they have what I call a victorious consciousness. A victorious spirit. You need to remind yourself and ask yourself, are you still in victory? Absolutely. God wants you to have a victorious consciousness. And I'll give you a couple examples that have stirred me. I was talking to one pastor on the phone back in January, and he said, you're going back to America. And I said, yeah. And he said, you're running away. And then he laughs, you know, because, hey, I have a blue passport. He doesn't. And so he's teasing with me, and he says, well, just do me one favor. He says, if we're going to be a full invasion and we're, you know, just let me know ahead of time so I can wake up. Let me know if I'm going to wake up as a Russian missionary. And I thought, well, that's victory. You know, even if Putin wins and all of a sudden Ukraine becomes Russia, he's still a pastor. He's still a minister of the gospel. He just stopped being a Ukrainian pastor. Now he's a Russian missionary. I thought that's victory. And with a spirit like that, boy, you can't beat a spirit like that. Amen. And then there's the other brother. We met him in our very first pastor conference back in 14 when the war began. He was one of the first chaplains, which was really touching to my heart. I don't talk about it over there with them, but between me and David Barton and some others, we helped push the idea of the chaplaincy program. Ukraine didn't have it. And so we were part of authoring the laws and everything. It's a real honor to see all these chaplains out there because, hey, we had something to do with that, you know. And he was one of the first chaplains, and he got shot in the head. And the amazing thing was, is that didn't kill him. You'd think it would. Well, all the other soldiers thought he was dead, and he laid there on the battlefield in front of the trench almost all day long. And that should have killed him because he didn't have any water. He didn't have any, you know, but he didn't die. You know, some men of faith just don't die easy, right? And they found out he was alive, so they patched him up, and they put a a 4-inch titanium plate on a hole in his head. I don't know about you, but my dad used to ask me if I had a hole in my head. And, you know, well, he really has a hole in his head. And he's got this plate, right? And he's fine. He's absolutely fine. Now, you know, no mood changes, which sometimes happens with brain injuries. No loss of memory. No dysfunction, whatever. And so in 22, when there was a full-scale invasion, he went right back in. And after a couple of weeks, he stepped on a landmine. Well, the fragments of the landmine went dispersed, but one fragment went right up his leg and come out his knee and blowed up and hit him in the head on a titanium plate and bounced off. And they got him on the cot, and they're looking at it, the same fellows that put his plate in his head, just saying, if we hadn't put the plate in your head, you wouldn't have one. I just think that's funny. So he patched him up, and when he came to the retreat, he was limping a bit, so we were down on our knees praying for his knee. Glory to God. So he's out as a chap. Actually, I think he might even be in the U.S. His daughter ended up marrying one of our workers, Adriel. And so they're good men. Pray for them. Yes. You know, somebody said, well, we're praying for you, Pastor. Thank you. Pray for me, too. I don't even know how to cook. I thought my prayer covering failed me. I was cooking in my kitchen. And I don't know. I didn't know that coconut oil burns at a low temperature. And I had a fire in the kitchen. And I'm fine. I covered it because it's ugly. You know, y'all don't know what that's, you know, because you're so beautiful. But when it's ugly, I cover it up. Hallelujah. So pray for me. I can't even cook, Donna. How do I get to Ukraine and back? I can't even cook. And Terry wonders that quite often. Well, that's because she's a prayer warrior and you're a prayer warrior. Thank you for keeping us covered in prayer. We'll be back. We'll be back for the landmark. Do come to the landmark in Lancaster. That's June 9 to 13. Love for you to be there and be filled up with the word. I haven't made it official, but it's been boiling in my spirit that the theme's going to be spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger. And until the Lord tells me otherwise, that's what I'm going on. And so I'm excited. You know, I learned a long, long time ago when I first started teaching, and I know I've talked to Bill about this. I'm just not sure I agree with feeding the people because they're not hungry. See, I want to learn the spiritual secret of people going away hungry. You know, you come in, feel fed and sassy, just pat your belly and go take your nap and watch the Steelers beat the Eagles or something like that. Boy, things have really changed in this church, haven't they? And no, I don't want you going home full. I want you to go home hungry. Glory to God. I got to get me some more of that. Amen. And of course, you feed on the word, and hopefully you feed every day. But we want you to get a hunger. There are certain things, of course, that the more you eat them, I guess the more you want them. My granddaughter's brought home these frozen pieces of fruit wrapped in chocolate. That's really probably made by the devil, because man, are they good. Oh, Lord Almighty. I don't know. They might have been what was growing on that tree of life in the garden. Right? Well, you just want more of them and more, and you go. And so I want to gorge myself on the word. Hallelujah. See, back in December, we'll cover a few things before we get into scripture by scripture, but all the principles will flow together. Back in December, I was in Ukraine over my birthday, and my birthday's on December 21, and ever since I was 16, the Lord gives me a birthday present. And I was 16 and I was driving home from, I worked for my father in the photography lab, you know, the dark room. And I was driving home on Fonstown Road, and the Spirit of God came in the car, and the Lord said, "Can I give you your birthday present now?" Never forget it. And I was so overwhelmed, and he gave me a vision. And I had a vision. I saw myself as an old man with white hair, and it was long and scraggly. And I was seated behind a pulpit, which I'm not that old yet. But I preached a message called The Potential of the Healer. And I drove home after I saw that vision. I saw the whole sermon. I drove home and ran into the back bedroom and pulled out a notebook and wrote down an outline of the sermon I'd heard myself preach. And I still yet to this day, I tried to preach it once, and I grieved the Spirit so bad I folded it up and preached something else. I've never preached that sermon. I still have it in that outline. And, of course, that was a tremendous gift at 16. And there's been more than one time that that's come in handy. I remember one time I was on an icy road, and we had a couple ministers with me, and we started spinning and did these 360s on this icy road. And when we were okay and we got straightened out, it was Randy Ellsworth. Randy Ellsworth said to me, he says, while we were spinning around, I just kept remembering Pastor Dale had a vision of when he was an old man. And I looked at him, I said, "You weren't in the vision." It comforts me. I don't know about you. And there's been more than one time in Ukraine I thought, thank God I ain't going to die. I had a fella tell me he'd been offered $30,000 to kill me. Well, I got to preach a sermon as an old man. I ain't going to die, right? So every birthday I get something from the Lord, and sometimes it's interesting, sometimes it's not. And one time he asked me, "What would you like for your birthday?" And I was on my way to preach to this small little group, and I said, "I'd like to see some people filled with the Holy Ghost this morning, Lord." And 12 people got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. And this little place, I couldn't hardly think there was probably only 14 people in the church. It was, and things like that, you know. And one time I got up and the Lord said, he said, "I have a surprise for your birthday." And about an hour later, there was a knock on the door, and I opened the door. And a good friend of mine from Hawaii standing on the doorstep said, "Surprise!" I said, "What? He's a good God, isn't he?" And so I always wake up on my birthday really excited, and you know, and here I am alone over there. And I woke up and I was like, "Lord, what's my birthday present?" And the Lord said, "I want to give you 1,000 partners." You know, we've on our Armada Network website, it's armadanetwork.org. You know, we have less than 600 partners that receive an email, right, or an update. And not all of them are really, you know, financially supportive, which doesn't, you don't have to be a partner in my opinion, but I don't know how many of them pray. It's hard to tell how many I have, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But it's not 1,000, right? He wanted to give me 1,000 partners, which I assumed was new, right? And, well, here I am over there, and we're throwing money at everything that moves, you know, because I, particularly when I'm there, "Can you help me here? Can you help do this? We got this church. We need medicine. Hospitals call us. We need, because we've resupplied over a dozen. It's probably now about 15 hospitals. They're out. And so once they find out that you resupplied a hospital once, they call you. And so I'm thinking, well, 1,000 partners, we could do a lot. We could do a lot. You know, help these pastors buy medicine, buy fuel. We buy fuel. It's such a long story, but it's such an awesome miracle. Because there's so much that happens in war you don't think about. And one of the things that happens is there's no fuel because the military takes it all in reserve. It's martial law. So when you're near the front lines within, you know, 40 miles, You'll go to a gas station and everything's zeroed out. There's no price. Well, if it's zeroed out, it means it's under martial law. And that fuel is in reserve because they'll put it in their tanks and their Jeeps and their Hummers and, you know, and they need it, right? That's the highest priority. So who are you? You're going shopping. You're not going to have any gas. So you're going to use a bicycle, or you're going to, you know, rations, get in line, do all your little stuff that you have to do. And so when it comes time to an evacuation and you don't have any gas to put in that bus, it's rough, right? So we were approached. This is the amazing thing. We were approached by three different gas companies, heard about what we were doing, and came to us. And then my assistant that I have on a small salary, Gleb, G-L-E-B, he went to university with one of these fellas. And so they said, we want to help you. The problem with rationing is we just have to meet the requirements of the military. So if you do and work with us and prepay for the fuel, and then we'll give you QR codes so we can track it, we can make sure that that anything you take is made up for, and we can meet the military's requirements, and then you, your team of pastors, can have fuel. And so that's what we do. And oh, we'll give you, I think they give us a 3% discount. So we prepay for fuel. And then we got all these stickers that are, you know what a QR code is? Those little black you know, you scan them, right? All right, some of you do know and some might not know. So it's an image and we can just send it to their phone. So a pastor pulls in with a van with, you know, eight or a dozen evacuees that just came from literal shelling. And they pull in and they text Gleb and he throws them a QR code on their Telegram application and they show it. And that authorizes them, first of all, to draw the fuel, because otherwise, what are you doing here? You don't have the, so it authorizes them and then they can draw their fuel. And then we know when, where, how many liters, and we can verify everything on a spreadsheet, and away they go out of harm's way. So I'm thinking 1,000 partners, we can buy fuel. So that's where my mind went. We can buy fuel, we can buy medicine. So we had in fact, when the Lord said that to me, we were asked to supply quite a bit of medicine. I had to say no. That's the hardest part. Because Terry will tell you, I've been really bad my whole life saying no. I don't like the word no. It's really good. It's a great word. You really do. Don't be weak like me. Learn to say no. No is an anointed word. Y'all looking at me strange, but no will keep you out of trouble. It'll keep you out of debt. And so the Lord, you know, 1,000 partners. Yes, Lord, I believe for 1,000 partners. And so I'm literally walking around thinking about this because I never had really thought about numbers like that. Let's get 1,000 partners. And so I'm praying, and it seemed like the more I walked and the more I prayed, the further away God got, until I felt like the whole room was empty and God wasn't happy with me. I'd grieved the Spirit. And I'm like, Lord, what'd I do? I'm missing something here. You said you won't give me 1,000 partners, and I'm excited about this. And immediately as I was repentant, the Lord came upon me again, and he said, son, I don't want to give 1,000 partners to bless you. I want to heal 1,000 people. And it was like, I'm thinking about medicine and fuel. And you want to heal 1,000 people. And so I repented and I'm like, Lord, I missed everything. Start over. what do you want? I don't know. What do you mean you want to heal 1,000 people? Are you talking about my book? Are you talking about seminars? You want me to preach seminars? And all of a sudden, the Lord came on me and said, son, The reason you walk in divine healing and health is because from the beginning you were taught how to have a daily quiet time with me. And every day you spend time with me, and every day you pray and you worship me and you live with me. And he says, my people don't know how to spend time with me on a daily basis, and I want you to help them. And immediately I saw it. And the Lord, I can't say it was like Moses on the mountain. I'm not trying to be melodramatic, but I realized I can send an email every day and encourage people the way I was encouraged, which was this little devotional called Daily Light. It's called Daily Light on the Daily Path is the full title. You can go in the bookstore and find it. Billy Graham was really blessed by it. I know his daughter Anne made a special edition in the New King James Version, because all it is scripture. It's not a devotional like commentary. It's just a collection of scripture verses. And it came by from a guy named Baxter, who had a daily time every evening with his family around dinner, and he had like a dozen kids. And as they grew up, they would read the scriptures, and they would each share a portion of scripture that had been a blessing to them through the day, and he collected them into groups. Well, then later, when I started being discipled by this fellow by the name of Gene Olin, he always had it with him. And and someone would say, would you pray for me? He would often pray in tongues. And Gene had a habit, you know, he what do you call it? Parkinson's. He always prayed like he had Parkinson's. His hand would always shake. And I'm not trying to make fun of him, because he didn't have Parkinson's. He'd shake your hand and, you know, and squeeze it, and you'd go to your knees, you know. But he'd pray like this. He always, and I always figured it was the Holy Ghost vibrating on the inside of him, you know. But often when he'd be praying, and he'd pray in tongues, and he'd stop and he'd pull this little book out of his back pocket. It was real small. And he'd open it up and he'd just start reading scripture to him. And that was from Daily Light on the Daily Path. So I've always used it often. I can't say every day of my life, but especially when I was the formative years of my life, it was with me all the time. And so the Lord showed me that I could put that in an email for people and put it on their phone every day. And then the Lord said how to write an email that every day encouraged them in faith and God's healing power. And some of you have been receiving it, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. It takes a little bit of time for me to do it, but it's worth it. And once I'm done in a year, well, we'll just set it on repeat, and it'll be there for everybody. And I suppose I can print it in a book if we need to. But my point is, use it for your daily time with the Lord. And if all it does is spurs you to have a daily time with the Lord and you don't even read it, that's fine by me. You know, Terry has a little thing goes off on her phone that sounds like one of them old jewelry boxes. And I looked at her and said, what's that? She said, oh, it's time to go to bed. It's just a nice reminder, you know, it's time. It's getting late, time to go to bed. Well, if you get that email and all it does is tells you it's time to open your Bible, it's time for you to pray a little bit. And, you know, I mean, I encourage you, those scriptures are good to meditate on. God's word is always good, right? But my heart, from what I received from the Lord on my birthday, was you have to have a daily time with God to grow strong. And so many people that face sickness or disease or other obstacles like strife in a marriage or the loss of a job or some other obstruction in your life, you need to draw away with God. You're going to find your strength that goes from day to day. You build faith day by day. But too many, you know, that we've lived careless lives, and then all of a sudden the doctor says, you know, you got 3 months to live. Well, that's what the church, you know, that's one of the things the church can help you with, right? And protect you. But like Jesus said, it's a whole lot better to build your foundation on a rock, because when the storm comes, you're built on a rock. You know, building your foundation when it's raining is not the best time to build your foundation. Amen. So we want to realize that, because a lot of times if we're not honest, you know, church is about the only place we get filled up. No, church ought to be the place where you're filled up when you come in and you let out, You minister to one another. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Right? Build a daily time with God. And so, you know, if it blesses you, if you'd like to get that, it's free. It's on the website. Go to armadanetwork.org. And at the top, there's several squares. There'll be a picture. It looks like a sunrise. It says Daily Light. And you click on that and you can read about what it's all about. And you'll start getting an email every day. And don't spam me because it goes against my, you know, the way they measure you and weigh you. But we don't have a lot. We don't have 1,000. I think there's about 80 right now. And what's amazed me is I haven't had anybody unsubscribe. So I guess it's blessing them. Usually you have a certain amount that would unsubscribe, you know. So share it with your aunts and your uncles and just say, hey, this will bless you. And check up on them. Say, what'd you think of that today? You know, use it. The Bible says there's angels writing down the conversations you have with other people about what you got out of the word today. Did you know that? Think about that. You know, some of you got a notebook, I hope you do, where you write down what God said to you, but there's angels up there writing down what you talk about with somebody. You know, there's probably, they probably got Starbucks angels. Maybe there's more Dunkin' Donut angels right now. I don't know where all that goes, but people sit down and they talk about the things of God. Yes. Amen. And I like the principle because take people by the hand and lead them gently. Sometimes we're too over people's heads, all right? That's not always a bad thing, all right? Because people look at you and say, what's he talking? I still remember Alan. He used to come to church and sit in the car. He wouldn't even come in. Then a couple times he'd come in. And then he started getting involved, and we were ripping out the walls at Grace Fellowship. And I had shorts on because it was hot. And we're carrying a half of a wall out, if I remember right. And it had one of these little metal flanges where the joints had been nailed together. And when I walked, that metal flange slashed my leg wide open. And there's blood running down, filling my shoe. And Alan's looking at it. And I'm not making this up, am I? I mean, I'm telling the polite version. Well, it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional, but.
And so I spoke to it in the name of Jesus. I said, I command you to stop bleeding in Jesus' name. And it stopped bleeding immediately. Just turned the valve. And Alan's in there looking at that. Well, signs and wonders. See, Isaiah says that, and this is Jesus, the Messiah, speaking, I and the children God has given me are for signs and wonders. Amen. So I don't want to take all that away. Sometimes that's what it takes to get somebody's attention. And I know that got Alan's attention, and he's done really good since. Amen. Yeah. And it multiplies, right? And yet sometimes that doesn't have to be every day. Sometimes it's the daily blessing that's going to cause you to rise up. And in fact, if you don't get into the daily, you can't live on that. You can't live on that, right? So take people gently by the hand and just encourage them. You know, what'd you get out of the word today? Where are you in the word today? I wake up in the morning, I've suffered from physical abuse most of my married life. My wife beats me up every day. It's pretty typical. And I like to laugh. Oh, come on. That was funny. When I was growing up with my mom and dad, I had a drug problem. My mother drugged me to church. Yeah. And now I suffer physical abuse at the, and my wife beats me up every morning, and she's out there having her time with the Lord. Amen. Well, as you learn that with people, you'll help them step by step to apply God's word to their situation. And sometimes, and this is what I want to emphasize, you've got to remember, they might not have faith for a pair of socks, but the doctor says they're going to die of cancer. See, you got to help them to get sock faith. You got to start where you're at, all right? And believe for the grace of God for that which is in between and keep them out of death. But recognize not everybody's walking in and being free from cancer faith. And we hurt them because Paul even said it in Timothy, don't lay hands suddenly on anybody. Well, that's not just ordination. You don't ordain people too soon. That's a principle, yes. But I'm convinced we pray for people to be healed before they're ready to be prayed for. And unless you've got a word from the Lord that you're walking in the miracle power of God, we actually do them a disservice.